Welcome back to the Man Cave Caucus podcast. It has been a whirlwind of a week, Tim. And here we are once again back in the man cave. And listen, folks, we're here again to just hold your hand through this, you know, this chaos that's around us in this old world and find the truth of the matter, but also have some fun doing it along the way.
Hold your hand and skip.
That's right.
Skip through the puddles.
Right through the puddles. So I'm your host, Ben Baker. Tim Holden is here as well, our co-host on the Man Cave Caucus podcast. With all the wit and wisdom you can find across the fruited plain. And our third man on the roster here in the Man Cave is Detective Joel Mace, who is our resident fact checker, Googler of all things, and
videographer.
Videographer now. I have delegated. Did you like how I did that?
You threw full-time on the videographer.
I said, here, Joel, take it. Take the iPad. Also, Joel does some sports commentating sometimes, too.
He knows his sports.
Yeah, you know, far more than I do.
Last week, you were looking like one of those one-man bands with the drums.
I felt like I needed guitar, four hands.
Harmonica.
Right. Stomping.
Just stomping out a tune.
I feel kind of weird right now. I don't know what to do with my hands. I've got everything where I don't have to hold anything. I don't have to be, you know,
just do
too much.
Some Trump hands.
That's right. So, yeah, we're 77 episodes deep now. Isn't that crazy?
Seven's my favorite number, too.
Still haven't figured out if we're doing a podcast or just speaking out into the ether.
who
knows?
You're doing one till the other happens.
I think it's a bit of both.
Yeah.
You know, it is.
Every now and again, I run into somebody and they say,
yeah,
listen every week.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was looking at some of our reviews, actually. I hadn't done that in a while. We've got quite a few. Might have Joel bring some of those up here in a little bit. But I do want to plug our YouTube channel because if you'll look us up at www.youtube.com/mancavecaucus, you'll find us there. And we are growing in our subscribers. And last week was our full video episode for the first time. So that's up on the YouTube channel. Also was able to find a few minutes to put some YouTube short videos on there as well. So go over there, subscribe to the channel, check out our videos, and I think you'll enjoy what you find there at the YouTube channel. I am trying out some different editing software. I think I told you guys this to help cut down on the editing time. So bear with us on that. There was a few things that made its way through last week that normally I would not allow on the editing. So we apologize for that. But you know what? Just, hey, hang in there. Just deal with it.
What would Matthew McConaughey say? R-E-L-A-X, relax.
I thought you were going to say, all right, all right, all right.
He would say that thereafter. Have you guys read his book, Green Lights?
I have not.
No.
It is a wild book.
I can only imagine. He's quite a character.
Yeah, he's lived quite a life.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're trying our best. Hang in there with us. We're approaching actually 100 subscribers on the YouTube channel. And since we're talking about it, hey, go over to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us a 5-star review. That really does help us. Joel, why don't you look up some of those reviews if you can get over there to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and we'll maybe read some of those here in a bit. First up, I want to talk about Trump, man, just getting it done. An executive order I've been waiting on for a long time, Tim, I will say. Just listen to this video and tell me if this doesn't just give you the warm the warm fuzzies about the Trump administration. Will Scharf here in the picture as well. Missouri boy getting it done right there next to President Trump. And let's see what this most recent executive order is.
Mr. President, this next executive order will criminalize skinny jeans for all youth pastors everywhere in the universe. It says, quote, skinny jeans are not hip or fire or even rad, and they just simply look dumb.
I wish they would have had Trump's response.
Mr. There. President, this next
right?
executive order
oh, I know.
Will criminalize.
I could only imagine what the response would be, right?
Hopefully the punishment is not too swift or strong, because I've got a couple pairs that I'm still clinging to.
Yeah, I think it's just, look, they're doing the Lord's work up there. That's what's happening right now on the big stage, the Resolute desk. It's the Lord's work. So, also this week, Cash Patel confirmed. Yeah.
Straight cash, homie.
That's right.
We need to get that button set up on the board.
Yes.
For whenever he does.
Need to do
whenever
that.
He does something good, just
yeah.
little
It'll be
neon
next.
Neon Dion.
We'll have something next week,
was
I'm
that,
sure.
Was that Deion Sanders?
Terrell Owens.
Terrell.
Straight cash, homie.
Yeah. How are you gonna pay them fines? Straight cash, homie.
Yeah. So what was the vote, Joel? Can you look that up? What was the vote count? It seemed like it was like 51 to
49?
47 or 48 or 49. Is that what it was?
It was a 2-point, I think.
Okay.
I got bad news.
Yeah?
I'm not an Apple Podcast guy.
Oh, I got it.
Okay.
Tim can find it.
I'll look up Spotify.
Okay.
You look up.
So, close vote. Did McConnell vote for cash?
Absolutely not.
Of course not.
But,
mm-hmm.
on your birthday...
On my birthday, which was...
Also Mitch McConnell's birthday.
I know. I did not know this until you sent it to me.
The old turtle.
Turtle.
Turtle. Said, we will not be seeing him on the ballot
yeah,
in
right.
2026.
He's done. Dunsky.
What? There should be a polymarket line for every one of these politicians.
Yeah.
The Maxine Waters. The... Chuck Schumer's, the Elizabeth Warren's even. I don't
Pocahontas.
Know how long she's Pocahontas. I don't yeah. know how long she's been in there.
A while.
But, and the grandmother of all.
Pelosi.
Nancy.
Pelosi.
There should be a polymarket odd. How many of these are not going to bother?
Yeah. Because they're going to...
Well,
yeah, well,
they may be in prison.
Well, yeah, exactly.
You could only hope.
Yeah, if Cash gets after it, right? So he was sworn in. I thought it was greatness. A few of the Republicans voted no. You know what I wish? I hope that Thomas Massey actually runs for McConnell's seat in Kentucky. Wouldn't that be great?
I like
Thomas Massey a lot.
Yeah.
Very rare that I disagree with Thomas Massey. But yeah, I got a little video for you here with the Cash Patel being confirmed. Put it up there, Joel. Watch this. Here he comes. So good. Let it play again. Little AI there for you. So yeah, Cash is in. I think he's going to get down to business really quick. The FBI obviously needs a reckoning, and I think it's about to happen with Cash in control. Also this week, CPAC... which is the Conservative Political Action Conference. Our good buddy from Argentina, actually, was there, Javier Milei. And he presented a little blingy chainsaw.
Much more refined than the one he used.
Very much more.
I gave my wife the old history lesson.
Yeah.
She might have missed that episode about Javier Malay when he was campaigning.
Just going to town with the chainsaw.
And it made more sense to her.
Yeah. So, yeah, he presented our buddy Elon Musk a big blingy-looking chainsaw, chrome on it. You know, that was the trademark prop of choice during Malay's campaign, signaling unnecessary spending and the bureaucracy with the old chainsaw, just waving around, you know, like any alpha male would if you got a hold of one of those, which is exactly what Elon did. Watch this video. It's pretty funny. It's a good sized chainsaw.
That's a serious saw. That's a custom shop.
Afuera!
Afuera!
Afuera! The chainsaw for bureaucracy! Chainsaw!
I love how he does the sounds.
I feel like it would be way way cooler if Elon went around with a Tesla flamethrower.
Mr. Oh,
President,
yeah.
As his.
So
much.
All right. For sure.
It would really make some people unhappy.
Afuera!
Afuera!
I showed her that. You can't watch that and not
right?
feel like there's hope.
Yeah. I mean, I'd do it too.
Afuera!
Big old chainsaw. It'd only be better if it was actually running. You know what I mean? Take the chain off.
Yeah.
Just start that baby
go,
up.
Just go full on. What are the Halloween time they have the haunted houses.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, if they can have chainsaws.
Yep.
You might have to make it run off kerosene, keep the fumes down.
Yeah.
Because
well,
I don't know
do
if
temporarily.
I don't know
minute.
If you've spent much time in a building with a
yes, I
hot
have.
Saw running or.
Yes, I have.
It doesn't take long.
Those jobs down in Arkansas at the university, we
oh,
had
yeah.
them going every day.
Yeah, that's pretty much every day.
Leave you feeling like you smoked a few joints
well,
before you left.
You definitely, I've seen guys pass out.
Oh, yeah, it's bad for you.
Especially the guys up in the lifts. All
yeah,
the,
generators, too.
All
generators
of that,
can
yeah.
cause it.
So we'd be running two skid steers, two hot saws, and four of those light plant generators, and the electricians
just, like
just
animals.
Kept walking off the job because mm-hmm. they were in the lifts. All the fumes go to
the electricians
top.
Can't handle it, though. They just can't.
I love you, electricians.
Doesn't matter what it is. They just can't handle it. They just can't handle it.
Clean up.
That's right.
Clean up's definitely something they struggle with.
Yes. Oh, so Doge this week, man. They're still on the rampage. Finding evidence suggesting that people several hundred years old, Tim, were still listed as receiving Social Security benefits. Did you read this? Just a cursory examination of the Social Security data. And so Elon shares this chart purportedly from the Social Security database showing over 20 million individuals aged 100 and older marked as alive, which the death field was set to false in the data, right? So this included specific age breakdowns over 4.7 million aged people, 100 to 109, 4.7 million people, approximately 3.9 million with the age of 130 to 139.
This is what I can't comprehend.
Right.
Where has the money been going?
It's unbelievable.
Has there been any speculation?
We don't know, Tim. We just don't know.
But they're
know.
Sending a check.
Yeah, they're sending a check. So, I mean, I would think there's a lot of fraud happening with people getting Social Security numbers and running this.
There were no Social Security numbers 320
right,
years ago.
Right. It's crazy. 3.5 million.
Maybe that's dog years.
140 to 149 years old, more than 1.3 million aged 150 to 159, and even one person aged between 360 and 369 years older than this country.
I'm pretty sure that it's dog years.
It's crazy.
Goldie's last day wasn't the last time the check came.
It's just insane. Now, of course, you know, the media is trying to spin this, and they had some experts on, and the analyses, they've thrown some shade on these claims of widespread fraud. They say that the data likely reflects quirks in the Social Security Administration's outdated systems.
20 million quirks is
right. Such as the use of what they call the COBOL programming, which defaults missing birth dates. And so it'll just like reference a point like May the 20th, 1875 or whatever, you know, making some people, some of these in the data appear to be 150 years old in 2025. So I don't know if that's just a quirk or if it's something that is a real issue. I think we have to look at it as a real issue, right? They did say that in 2023, there was an inspector general report that identified 18.9 million records of people that were born before 1920 without death information, but only 44,000 supposedly of those were receiving payments, which I say 44,000 too many, right?
Yeah. So even if they were getting the minimum.
Yeah. So with just 13, then they said over the age of 112. And supposedly, the Social Security Administration automatically stops payments at age 115.
Oh, that's nice. That would be good.
It's a good hard, yeah. Good hard stop.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we were thinking about lowering it to 105, right. But they're those outliers.
Right.
It's not worth it. Not worth taking the chance. So that would be just shy. If they were receiving minimum,
mm-hmm.
$44,000, just shy of $100 million a year.
That's crazy.
Oh, no. No, no. I did it times. That's per month.
Per month.
$96 million per month if it was only $44,000.
Okay.
So per year, that's $1.2 billion, I believe.
Yeah. But I mean.
Just $44,000.
Here or there, give or take.
And you wonder why... going bankrupt.
Well, and you wonder why, as Doge uncovers this stuff, why people are freaking out and losing their minds. For me, I'm like, yes. Why in the world have we been sending these payments? Why in the world have we not? Has this not been questioned before? I don't understand that. You know, and they try to say, the media tries to say, well, most of the overpayments are to living individuals. Well, so we haven't even looked at that part of it, right?
Right.
Like, these are dead people, 150 years old, that are getting payments. We haven't even talked about the overpayments to living individuals that shouldn't qualify or don't qualify. But anyway, here's what President Trump said about it, and I thought this was good.
From 120 years old, people... that are 120 years old, up to 129, 3,472,000 people. Wow. You know, that can't possibly be, because the record is like, I think it's 112? One person, a woman, lived to 127, but they have 3,472. Okay, but now we're going really in. People from 130 years old to 139-year-old, 3,936,000. Wow. I wonder if people are getting paid with all this. I mean, are these checks? And that's what we're checking right now. People from 140 years old to 149 years old, 3,542,000, 140 years old.
It's just crazy.
Now we're really going, because we're looking to break the record by 25 years. People from 150 years old
by 25 years.
To 159 years old. 1,345,000. These are in the. By the way, these are in the computer files. This is what they do well.
These are in the computer files. That reminds me of Zoolander.
Yeah.
The files. Where are the files? Oh, that'd be great if Elon took that chainsaw and did something like that. Where are the files? Just starts cutting up a computer. An old. What were they? The Commodore 64, which is probably what some of these departments are still using.
Yeah. My son's learning to code on the Commodore.
Oh yeah,
64.
I had a day or two with the old Commodore 64.
Yeah, he may have a future in the Social Security
right programming.
Administration.
Administration. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, of course, this set, I mean, just a perfect tee up for the Babylon Bee to do a little article and headline on this. And so if you look at this, pull it up there.
And it's so reminiscent of a story that CNN might run.
Right. Here's the headline from the Babylon Bee. Elon Musk cuts Social Security benefits for thousands of Revolutionary War veterans. It's got a picture of a skeleton with the tricorn hat. But this is how crazy this stuff is. Like, you just can't make it up. Also, this week, Polymarket, I don't know if you were able to find that yet or not, Joel, but Polymarket started, they put up the Doge live tracker, and showing like the amounts that they're cutting and where they're cutting and what fraud they have found. See if you can find it, Joel, and
I found it
and pull it up.
I found it easier than I found our ratings.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I didn't find
it. What does it say? What's the most recent? I'll put it up on the screen here.
That's a little old. Oh, we were putting mine up on the screen.
The one I had was like 48.
Yeah, this is something billion. It's 55 billion.
Okay, 55 billion.
They're at 2.75% of their $2 trillion goal. $359.48 of savings per taxpayer per day.
Wow. So 2 trillion is the goal, or a little over 2 trillion. And of course the left, you know, they're just losing their minds over this stuff. There's screeching and weeping and gnashing of teeth over finding this fraud, and making the government efficient again.
It just feels like that this should, what they've done should have taken at least a year.
Right.
And so it's really hard to imagine
they can't keep
how
up.
Much will be when the total sum.
When it's totaled up, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a few clips to play of people just, you know, absolutely losing their minds over this stuff. And I think we played one last year or last week of a pastor talking about it. Here's another one. This one is just outrageous. He's making ridiculous and, I will say, unbiblical claims as well. But this is from the pulpit and how that they are going after Elon Musk and what's happening with Doge. Listen to this.
Come on, public enemy. I came to tell white supremacists.
Switch it.
I came to tell MAGA. I came to tell white privilege. We coming. We coming. God said, when you give me glory, I'm going to run them out of the State Department. If you give me glory, I'm going to run them out of Congress and run them out of Senate.
I'm pausing. So is his sweatshirt, the guy preaching, his sweatshirt, what does it say? It says something about Musk on it.
You give me glory.
Can you see that?
Man of Africa is what it says on the bottom.
Sounds a bit racist, actually. I mean, Musk is from South Africa.
Glory. I'm going to run him off of your job.
Those are for sale in the church gift store.
Is that it?
I don't know.
For sure.
What does it say above that, though? I don't know. Something about...
MAGA Musk?
Is it Musk or is it Musa?
Oh, it is Musa.
So I don't know if it says Musk
or not.
I'll
find out.
Seems
just
like
Google
it
man of Africa
and run them off of your classroom. I need you to take your neighbor's hair and say, neighbor, we gotta shout like we got faith. Come on, public enemy. I came
public enemy.
I want to believe for a lot of these things, just
yeah. So that's one. His name is Jamal Bryant. I believe it was Atlanta where his church is.
Church.
I don't think that's just, church I would want to attend.
He's doing the Lord's work.
I found the same T-shirt.
Kind of like the guy on Zorro.
So what is it?
It's not, if I can get into it. It's not...
Musk related.
Musk related.
Okay. It looked just like it said Musk on it. And I was like, what is he wearing? But
I'll
I'll
tell you, I think I may have just seen something that is more atrocious than, like, if you see someone with blue hair, I'd say it's a 90 percentile.
Likely.
If it's Halloween,
yeah,
they may have a shred of,
right,
you know, there may be, but if you see a guy with a skunk stripe of pink,
yeah,
in his beard,
you're about to see it. You're about to see it. So next up,
there's 150% chance.
Right.
It says Mansa Musa.
Mansa Musa.
I'll Google what that means, but
I don't even.
It sure looked like Musk.
Yeah, I know it did.
Context.
Right.
You know.
Whatevs.
Given
Joel's
the context,
over there happened to.
We could have
bring up the facts.
Yeah, I think we would have probably left this podcast with him wearing a MAGA Musk.
Mansa Musa was the emperor of West African Mali Empire from 1312 to 1337. He was a devout Muslim, and he is considered by some to be the wealthiest person in history. There you have it.
I don't even.
Doesn't it's, compute.
Right.
It's, I don't even know how.
As but he's preaching about.
You're getting ready for church. You're going to be speaking. I've seen, I mean, Stephen Furtick makes more sense.
There's
got to
be some
saw.
Connection, though, because you know he purposely wore it knowing what he was going to say about Elon Musk.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we'll have to dig into that.
You make a decision to wear a hoodie like that.
The richest person in the history of the world.
The
a Muslim. So is he celebrating that or?
I think there's a sect of people who are angry that we, that white people took them from Africa and they were kings and they had the potential to be kings. And I think they're eternally going to be mad at white folks.
Interesting.
But I've been to Africa.
Interesting.
And there was a
me too
option that could have been much worse for them too.
Yeah.
Much.
Well, so next up, an LGBTQ activist is arranging an escape plan, Tim, from the U.S.,
I've seen this.
When the concentration camps start getting set up, according to him. What page of Project 2025 is that?
It was the Cons Transcation.
Do you remember what page the concentration camps were on? I don't
Cons
remember.
Cons Transcation camps.
Right. I didn't have this on my bingo card. Like, prepper LGBTQ activists. For 2025. I'm wondering why he didn't also mention in his list of things that he was throwing in his go bag some extra nail polish and some pink beard dye. Because obviously, if you don't have that,
oh, he's
I don't think you would ever
prepper.
Know. Right? How would you ever know?
He'll use berries.
So
he'll use berries.
No one would ever be able to tell that he's not a woman,
berries
Tim, without those
beard.
Things.
Well, it. He does look somewhat like a bearded woman from the circus days.
Maybe.
They shave their head quite often.
Yeah.
In the movies.
So here it is. Just watch this.
With concentration camps looming in the United States, here's what queer people are doing. Yes, I said concentration camps. You can f*** MAGA. We are getting a go bag ready. We are getting all of our documents ready. So driver's license,
is
birth certificate, social security card, passport. Now, if you have to revert your passport and your documents to previously said gender identities that you were born with,
it's like squeezing a tube of toothpaste to get
I'm allowed to do so
out.
With my driver's license that says X on it in the state that I'm in. I'm going Monday to revert that to my gender assigned at birth. So the next step, we're going to have a go bag with shoes, clothes for 7 days, dehydrated food, think astronaut food for 7 days. We're going to have $1,000 cash or prepaid credit card on hand. And this is just for the emergency. This isn't for permanency. This is for a week of getting by off the grid. We're going to have anything ready for the pets that we're taking with us. So put some cat litter in your trunk. Put some cat food.
Joel, do we have any Polymarket odds on how long these folks can make it off the grid?
I'll definitely look it up, but all I can think about is all these poor folks that are just going to have their go bags filled with moo-moos and pump heels.
Right. And nail polish.
Dog food in your trunk. Wigs. Make sure there's a leash there. Make sure you have everything ready for everything that you're taking with you. Make sure your medication is available and in extra stock. So stock up on it. Ask your doctor for a 3-month supply
make
at one time.
Make sure that medication you better make sure that's in the bag.
Make sure.
Have
if you're
all
a furry,
of this stuff available and
gotta,
ready to go in a moment's notice
if you're a furry,
for every single person in your
twice
family.
Twice the litter.
You do not need a passport to get into Canada or Mexico.
What?
You just need your documents. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't have a passport ready to go. Have a beautiful day and stay safe, my transgender family. All MAGA hate on this video will be deleted and blocked.
I bet he was busy.
So please boost this video with positive thoughts for other queer people and what you are doing to make sure that you are safe. And being safe does not mean hiding who you are. I am still going to live my life out loud every f***ing day. But I'm getting ready to go if need be. And when I am traveling, I won't be having nail polish and beard color in my beard. I'm going to be stealth
as I'm traveling. Maybe it's the water in California.
But once I get to where I need to go, I'm still going to live out loud and speak up every day for the next f***ing generations of queer people. Have a beautiful day and stay safe, my transgender family.
I almost want to say it's a joke, but
I will say people will do anything for views. I'm 90% sure that a lady became internet famous and wealthy off of making a video about losing her. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. The more I've watched, I've seen a few more videos creep up. She was saying she lost her $4,800 a month in EBT and all that stuff.
Oh.
Pretty sure she just is trolling. But she's got, you know, the teeth to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of
the colors.
Blobby figure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so buyable. But
right.
It's like if I catered to the worst possible stereotype that I could pull off and made videos of it to just outrage people, I'd probably get internet famous.
Yeah, probably so. It's just so ridiculous.
So, who knows if it's real or not, but
it's unbelievable. Here's one from Saturday Night Live, actually, where they've got Tom Hanks playing the MAGA redneck.
Yeah, the stereotype.
Stereotype, right, that's racist and all the things. So watch this video. This, to me, I think is just vile. Like, what they're trying to message with this kind of propaganda, making all Trump supporters appear to be this kind of person that hates black people and that talks like this and looks, you know, like, it's just unbelievable.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe I should make videos dressed like Tom Hanks is here. And
right.
I thought this was Forrest Gump.
Outrage.
Right. So here
you go. Same red hat.
Oh, well, thank you. Hey, now, speaking of church, can I say something? If more folks went to church, we wouldn't be in this mess we're in now.
You know what? I agree with you, Doug. I'd like to shake your hand, sir. Here we go.
No,
it's just a handshake. Yeah, it's just a handshake. Yeah, all right. You're welcome in Black Jeopardy anytime.
Thank you, my brother. Now, maybe I'll start a show for you to come on, and we'll call it What Jeopardy?
No. We don't need it.
Unbelievable. But this is the kind of stuff that happens, and it's just vile. I think gaslighting is what it is. It's propaganda to further divide us. There's no truth to that. But, you know, they get the movie stars on there, and they play the part. And the next thing you know, people believe this stuff and think that that is reality. Next one is a CNN panel, actually, where one of the panelists goes on a tirade about being lectured by some white man. This is something else. This reminds me a lot of some debate I had this week in the Missouri House over the DEI bill. But watch this one.
This, as an
Aisha,
American,
let's talk about Kamala
makes
Harris.
Me really concerned.
Let's talk about Kamala Harris.
As a black lesbian who Donald Trump doesn't believe has genes as good as his, is he going to attempt to exterminate
me? Why do you believe that,
Aisha? When he gets elected? Because he's damn near said it. That's why, David. That's why.
Because he's
okay, and I'm not going to be lectured by some white man who has no idea what he's talking about and is trying to rewrite history here.
Aisha, shame
on you,
Aisha.
As an American, Aaron, of a Donald Trump presidency and his actual quotes,
shame
are
on
why.
You, Aisha.
Because I take him seriously, and I think that he believes what he says, and that is why he is a danger and a threat to America.
Aaron.
Yep. That's the way it is sometimes. It reminds me. So this week I had the bill on the floor, the DEI bill, prohibiting diversity, equity, inclusion programs and initiatives in Missouri state government.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Congratulations. So we perfected it on Monday. It took 2.5 hours of debate, just that one bill. And then we third read it on Thursday and sent it over to the Senate. So it's a big win. And you know, I just argued the point that this stuff doesn't work. Like, it hasn't been proven to work, but it has been proven to make things worse, right? And you should have heard some of the arguments and the stuff that was said. If I was to say some of the same exact words that people on the other side of the aisle said,
perma-cancel,
it would have been, yeah, absolute cancelization.
Well, because it would be racist.
Yeah, in their eyes.
Well,
yeah.
It is racist when they do it, too. They yeah. just, yeah. it's hard to see. It's hard to see.
Yeah, so next up, big story this week, the plane that crashed. Did you guys see this in Canada on the runway? And of course, you know, NBC went straight to blaming Trump for it. But here's one of the videos of this plane crash. And I've got a couple of different angles I'll play here. But this is wild stuff, man. Watch this.
I did want to, you know, underscore, to pick up on the conversation you were just having, though, in terms of the recent string of
plane
aviation incidents.
Plane is upside down at this point.
This
it's
is going to yet again raise the concern about FAA staffing, air traffic control staffing. Now, this is a Canadian air traffic control tower, and this is under Canadian authority once it crosses the border. And yet, as you know, there has been this talk about maybe staff cuts at the FAA as a part of President Trump's effort to trim down
Trump.
The federal workforce. And yet, as you also know, the FAA has been complaining for years that they are understaffed in critical job positions, especially air traffic control.
So that's NBC blaming it on Trump. But watch this video here. This is a different angle where you see the plane actually crashing. This is wild. Watch this.
Oh, no.
Crazy.
Looked like a decent landing. Was it snow related?
I'm not sure exactly what it was. I mean, it does look like that there was ice and snow on the ground. I don't know whether it was on the runway, but they did say there was some crazy crosswinds, like 70 mile an hour.
Yeah,
crosswinds I think was a part of it as well. But you know, this made the news. There's a lot of people talking about it. And then I've got some footage here of the people actually getting out of the crash plane, which was upside down.
Did everyone survive?
I think so. I think there were just injuries on this. Maybe Joel, you could look it up and see if there's any updated news on that. But
yeah, no, there's two that are still in critical condition, but everyone survived.
Okay. So watch this.
Everything, drop it. Come on. Don't take it.
Holy. Holy, oh my God.
Hope the AI catches that.
Yo, I was just on this plane.
Oh, this guy was actually on there. God. So yeah, I mean, just crazy stuff. And it seems like, you know, almost every single day we hear of another story, of another plane crash somewhere. But I think it's important to look at the data with that, because just because it feels like that we're seeing a new one every day in the media doesn't necessarily mean that that's actually happening. So actually, Not the Bee put together an article with some data that I thought was very interesting regarding this. And this is, you know, if you look at 2025 on this chart, it's actually lower than normal. But, you know, they go through, they show all the different media stories that we've seen just in 2025 and, you know, in less than 2 months in this year. And it, you know, I mean, I've already heard people talk about, like, there's no way I'm getting on a plane right now, right? You know, just because we've seen so much of this in the media. But if you look at the numbers, like in January or February, it's actually quite a bit lower than past years. In fact, lower than it's been even like further back than like 2007. So I
heard an interview with the Delta, which it was a Delta plane, right?
Mm-hmm.
CEO, and it was like on CNN or MSNBC, and they basically said, you know, blamed it on Trump, and that mm-hmm. and the CEO was like, there's 400,000 FAA positions. He cut 50 of them. None of them are
right.
None of them matter enough to cause plane crashes.
Those critical positions. Yeah. So, you know, like, and what does this tell us? Like, if I think it's more so the media algorithms are making it seem like it's more than it has been in the past than anything else. Like, and you think about that, like, what other things then? What other things in the algorithms when it comes to media have similar narratives? I don't know. You know, but if you look at the data, now 2020 was an anomaly because there wasn't nearly as many flights because nobody was flying anywhere for a while and everybody was staying home and there was all the masking and all the things going on with 2020. But
15 days to stop the spread.
Yeah. Yeah, 2 weeks to stop the spread that ended up being 2 years. Yeah. So I think it's interesting to look at that data, you know, in the reality of actually what the numbers say, because it doesn't appear to be higher than normal. Next up, anti-Doge protests keep happening around the country. Everywhere, including Missouri. They've already, I think, twice had protests outside the Capitol.
Anti-Doge?
While I've been there. Yeah. Elon Musk and Trump. And I think they just throw it all in there, you know? It's like, they've got to, it's like, I mean, can you imagine protesting government efficiency? Like, to me, that's just...
I can imagine it if it's hurting my wallet.
Right. But what right. if it's not? That's the craziest part. They right. Did you see the... InfoWars went out to the protest.
You can't talk InfoWars without doing the voice.
They InfoWars went out. It wasn't Alex. It okay. was it was another guy. Went out and interviewed like 50 protesters. And he was asking them this exact question. How has this affected you?
Can't tell.
Not a single person that made it. And this was a live rolling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was people... And then, so nobody had any anecdotal evidence even that mm-hmm. they had been affected in any way. Well, then this lady starts following him around and asking if people, she'd cut the interview off and say, have you been to press something about, like, you don't speak to the press unless you go get your talking points.
Oh.
And if you uh-huh. haven't been to that
so
place,
it's all organized
at the
all
protest, you're not allowed to be talking uh-huh. to him.
Yeah.
And she was going around following and asking them. She'd cut it off and be like, have you been briefed
right.
on how to deal with the press and go to the booth
mm-hmm.
or don't talk to them?
Yeah. Yeah. It's all orchestrated.
It's just
And, you know, but it's happening everywhere. I mean, it, just to me. Like how, right, think about that mentality. How dare you uncover that your tax dollars have been wasted and that, you know, it's been spent on what? Transgender underwater basket weaving in the Amazon jungle of Peru or whatever, you know, which is actually not too far from some of the things they have found, right? And how dare you shed light on the fraud IUDs. In our Social Security benefits? Yeah.
IUDs for corgis and Belize.
Right. I mean, it's just crazy to me. How dare you, you know, show light on the fraud in Social Security benefits to the Revolutionary War people that are, you know, still 300 years old and getting benefits from Social Security? I mean, how dare you find that we've been sending our tax dollars to everyone around the world except for making America great, which is exactly what has been happening. But they doth protest.
I got to know. Would you ever go to a would you ever find the time to go to a protest that you couldn't speak to the press about why you were there?
Right.
Without being briefed.
Mm-hmm.
It says so much about,
I don't know. If I was slipped a $100 gift card behind the scenes, I could probably protest whatever.
I've ruled you out because I know you just don't have time to go protest.
I don't.
Because you're, you know, busy living life and stuff. But these, it just is, it's so telling when you see that and know that that's what 99, the organizers are the only people who feel like they know what's going on and have a narrative that could talk to the press. Everybody else there are just, you know, I guess DEI hires.
Well, it's like this. I think they always have to have something to protest to keep the angst alive, right? You've seen this ever since the 60s. There's always something, and you know, they've got to stay on that. And then when it fizzles out, they'll find something else to protest. Right now it's Doge. Right now it's Elon Musk. You know, and of course they're protesting Trump because of the new administration. But it's just crazy. Look at this. This is in D.C., a protest, an anti-Doge protest. And they're dragging around. Look at this. They're dragging around an effigy, and they've got Musk's like a label on it as well. But it looks like to me that it's been beheaded, and they're dragging this effigy around to make a point that they don't want transparency and accountability in government. I mean, that's really what this comes down to. But watch this. It's crazy.
The only trans the left can't get behind is parency.
Right. That's exactly right. But these people, I mean, they're just out of their minds over this. We've got one here where there's a liberal woman that's throwing a hissy fit over an American flag hat that this guy is wearing, and she just can't get over it.
Is that the lady that was singing "Which Side Are You On"?
I don't know. Maybe it would.
She
fit.
She looks like it.
It would fit. Just which watch this. This is crazy.
Hey, hey, hey. My heart.
Which side
why do you get so emotional though? Stop. Like, let's just have a conversation.
We need to weed out our political affiliation.
It's free speech.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We're talking.
It's good. All good.
You wanna give your thoughts?
It's just the U.S. flag with the hunter stuff. It's
literally an Under Armour hood.
It's no political. I promise.
It looks political.
It's not political. I promise. This is just a brand.
Why are you wearing it?
Welcome to Portland.
It's cold.
So it's Cabela's. You never heard of Cabela's?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
She
so
just
like,
crawled out
I've
of her Subaru.
I've flag used in ways that's very disrespectful.
Okay.
And my parents were both in World War II.
I can see that.
I think it's a symbol, and I think that you're trying to make a statement.
I promise you I'm not. I just, honestly, I got this as a gift.
Oh, honey.
I promise you.
Oh.
Wait, hold on. Let me see what's
going
on here.
Oh, you're so innocent.
Yeah, I mean, it's got geese and elk. I mean, this is what Oregon's about. It's kind of like an Oregonian thing. You don't like that?
You're so innocent. Give me a break.
Hold on.
You
act like I have Trump's face on here or something. This is just a hunting thing.
You're so innocent, honey. Come on. Give me a break.
Pretend I'm your mom. Pretend I'm your mom.
I would love that.
I am so sorry.
You really think this is like I'm trying to like be maliceful out here?
Tell me what you think of Elon Musk.
I have bad intentions with this hat?
No, tell me what you. I think Elon Musk has bad intentions.
We can't talk about Elon until we get over this because you're like thinking I'm out here trying to.
No, you just said Elon Musk has bad intentions. Thank you. I totally agree. Have a great day.
You know what? Elon Musk should be president in 2028. What do you think about that?
I think that Elon Musk has no skills and no ability.
Well, he's the richest man in the world, so he's got some skills, right?
He cheats, he lies, he steals, and he bought a presidency. He has done nothing original other than to create things off of other people's ideas.
You think that Elon Musk is
honey,
Tesla and SpaceX?
Clear hold on,
we don't have to. Hey,
my heart.
Why do you get so emotional though? Stop. Let's just have a conversation. I want to hear what you think. Man.
I'm pretty sure that's the website are you on, lady?
Hey, ma'am.
Oh, your mama died last year.
Ma'am,
sorry.
Ma'am, it's okay.
Have a good day.
Listen, ma'am, if you're that upset
don't
though.
Don't call me, ma'am.
They're insane.
Don't call me, ma'am.
Sir,
call me sweetheart.
Sweetheart. Okay, whatever you want to be called. Whatever you want to be called. Why are you so upset? Why
don't
are you
call me ma'am.
Get you
call
so
me
upset?
Sweetheart.
Like, don't you see that we're just human beings? Seriously. You think completely different from me?
Looked,
I don't think ill of you. You've treated me so disrespectfully
you,
right here,
you,
and I still don't think less
you,
of you.
Don't point your finger
I'm
at me.
I'm sorry.
My
I didn't mean to say
you
I didn't
did
mean
certainly
it was like
that.
A foot
no, I didn't mean
lower.
That.
Elon Trump.
So just because I have certain political beliefs, you think you're going to treat me like that, is
yes,
what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay, that's insane to me.
Stressful.
That's what they think, though. They think that it's justified. That kind of behavior is justified because they disagree with you politically. Here's one of Congresswoman Crockett, one of our favorites to play on the show. Not a surprising take, actually, on supporting Canada and Mexico over the United States. But this is a sitting member of Congress, Tim.
Jasmine
rooting
Crockett.
For foreign countries over the United States, a sitting member of Congress. Watch this. This is just something else.
Really been the
Queen
one to call it out. The fact that I'm rooting for Canada and I'm rooting for Mexico a lot is really wild. Mm. But they are really the ones that are speaking truth to power right now. They can see what it is. And they were like, we are not messing with this crazy regime from Mar-a-Lago and basically calling them thugs. That's what it is. But I'm like, y'all knew who he was when y'all elected him. So don't act surprised. Really been the one to call it.
Bringing truth to power, right?
Jasmine
definitely
Crockett.
Not Jasmine Crockett, though, bringing truth to power.
Queen I wish MTG would have really taken
went
care
after. Oh, man. I got another one here, and then we'll probably go to a break. But this one is something else. These people are adults, are supposed to be adults, actually. And they're participating in what they call laughter yoga, Tim. At a joy camp. I'm using air quotes. A joy camp. Somewhere in the woods, probably in Oregon, probably outside Portland. Probably orchestrated as well. But these people, I think to me, seem to have some serious mental health issues. But, you know, that's just my opinion. But listen to this one.
But really make sure you get, like, really zapped. Get zapped, right? Get zapped into laughter.
It's a guy in a pink tracksuit. Tickle fight.
What in the world? What is it? I don't even know. I can't even.
Could
can't
you ever look
imagine.
At yourself in the mirror again if there's, when you got back from a fun camp?
There's no way. Laughter yoga. Have you ever heard of such a thing? I haven't. It's the first
I've
time
heard of
for
like
me.
Breath work that supposed to work that way, but laughter yoga seems.
Yeah. Well, here's what I think, okay? You want to know what I think? I think we have caused this by over-medicating people and the populace, and the result is often mental illness, Tim, it seems to me. I would like to see some research, actually, on the use of pharmaceutical medication used by political, like, you know, the political left versus the political right and how much medication that they use in general, probably. I think that would probably be an interesting study.
If all of those people replace their meds with the best medicine
mm-hmm.
there, I'm go for it. I'm not going to join.
Do you think medication could be the X factor? Like, I don't know.
It seems to be a very strong vein in, like school shootings.
Yeah, it's almost always a common denominator.
So,
yeah. I don't know.
Most it's just, of the ill that goes on.
It's just my hunch that this is a big part of the equation, but it's only a hunch. I don't have any, you know, peer-reviewed research to prove that, but I'd be interested to see if there are any out there.
Well, I can tell you from personal experience, I was taking anxiety medication for about 3 years. This would have been probably 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
9 years ago. And all of the anxiety that I had was my brain telling me that I needed to make some changes and do some different things. And the medication numbs the voice out that says, do something.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people, and I wasn't even on an SSRI, but like, you know, that's people literally numb out the voice inside that would push you towards
mm-hmm.
a productive life with medication. So I can't help but believe. I know that's what I did for a few years.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to see some research on it, but I think it definitely could be a big problem. Real quick, next up, the Department of Education removed over 2,000 pages of DEI propaganda from their websites after the executive order by Trump prohibiting DEI in the federal agencies and departments. But to me, that is just unbelievable. Like 2,300 pages pushing this woke propaganda. And you look at DEI, like, you know, I talked about this a lot this week in the debates over my bill. But number one, it saves millions of dollars. Millions of taxpayer dollars will be saved by eliminating this stuff. It removes the racist quotas from government and businesses that are out there. You know, hiring practices based on skin color, which is actually a violation of federal law. It reduces division and racism in the workplace. That's the thing, you know, removing this stuff, it actually makes the workplace a better place that is less discriminatory by removing the DEI practices. It increases the priority of success and safety. It establishes a meritocracy for people to be able to give their best performance. And it just makes common sense. And one of the other important points I actually made this week, too, is that conveniently, have you ever seen a DEI program that says anything about anti-Semitism? Not once have I ever seen it.
No, because
it's conveniently left out.
They're kind of lumped in with white males.
Combating dangerous prejudice toward Jews is not found in DEI initiatives. If DEI worked, if it actually worked like they think it does or like they say it does, we would have less instances of this stuff. We would have less instances of violent rhetoric toward people groups in general. But yet, there's been something like a 300% rise, actually, in anti-Semitic events happening on college campuses over the last 5 years. 300% rise. You can't tell me that DEI is working. It's not making it less discriminatory. And I think the proof is there. We're going to take a break real quick, and we'll be right back, everybody.
I sent you the original. I saw it.
without the weirdo and the bass.
It's gonna be a minute. It's coming a long way.
They're gonna slap a tariff on that thing.
I hope it clears before the tariffs hit. Might get a surprise eBay charge. 25%.
Did you ever find any reviews?
I did.
Read a couple of them real quick before we move on.
So we have February 7th, this is the most recent, says, this podcast, goated, 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
This podcast gives me a reason to look forward to Mondays. Thank you, Ben, Tim, and Joel.
Hey, that's a good one.
We have 2 back-to-back.
It's hard to look forward to a Monday.
I know.
Even with the Man Cave Caucus podcast.
The Man Cave Caucus podcast keeps me looking forward to Saturdays.
Right.
Love it. I've been following since the beginning. Love the mix of humor, information I get. I try not to ever miss an episode. And that nice. Is by Stat Squatch.
Stat Squatch.
And
thank you for that. Thank you very much.
I think yeah.
One more, Tim.
Let me find a good
one.
This is
giving
me
a good fuzzy feelings.
Okay. We're going to go down to May 9th, 2024. It's an old one, but it's a good one. It says, been loving listening to this. I've gotten angry, laughed, wanted to cry, etc., etc. In it all, I have learned a lot of new stuff and have a deeper appreciation for those who serve our country, our people, by standing up for what's right in our government. Definitely worth listening to.
Cool.
We got...
That's great.
Hey, read that one from Randy Turner. Oh, he didn't write a good one?
We do have
it's not on there,
only
Joel.
One person has taken the time to comment with a 1 star. So I'm going to go ahead and assume that Fed Up Missourian is Randy Turner.
Yeah, it's probably
and it
so.
Just says, seriously, with a question mark. 1 star.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a joke?
Well,
that's all we got.
We can't really blame them. Like, what if they started listening and didn't listen very far? You know what I mean?
Like the first season of Breaking Bad.
Right.
You got to get past the first season.
That's right.
It's a good show.
All right. Next up, let's talk about the gold in Fort Knox. How about that? It's actually, is it still there?
All
what do you guys
the
think?
The gold in California.
What is? Where is it, Tim?
Da, 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 da,
a bank in the Beverly Hills?
Most likely.
Yeah.
I would say that, I haven't seen. Is there gold in Fort Knox?
Well, this is a good question. There's been a lot of talk about this, especially since Elon has been talking about doing a deep dive and maybe even a live video like tour of Fort Knox. And the facility there to see if it's still there. And also saying that Fort Knox needs to be audited because it hasn't been audited since like the 50s. Like a full audit, it hasn't been audited since like the 50s. So here's the CEO of Scottsdale Mint actually talking about the issue. I'm not going to play all this video, but I thought he had some pretty important and interesting things to say. Listen to what he said here.
Hey, everybody. It's Josh Fair, Scottsdale Mint again. Hey, thanks for, about 500,000 views in the last 12 hours or so on that first Elon Musk possibly going to be auditing gold. Wanted to follow up with part 2 here, getting quite a bit of questions. So I don't have all the answers, but I'm just going to go with what I think is essentially going down. So a lot of people say the gold's not there. And what happens when the audit shows that there's is no gold there. And while that's quite the possibility, I don't think Trump likes to fail at pretty much anything, and mm-hmm. neither does Elon. And I'm going with firsthand experience here, firsthand knowledge. They have been flying gold into the United States out of Europe and mainly London. I know this for a fact. On almost every flight, starting before Christmas, these flights typically a passenger flight, they'll spread the gold out, roughly 4 tons of gold. I'll let you guys do the math. Roughly 32,000 ounces per pallet. They'll spread that out across the cargo. If the plane is full, as most of it was leading up to Christmas because of holiday travel, they could only get 2 tons. So if almost every single flight is that much gold coming in, and I know this firsthand from all the armed carriers. Guys, I work with these companies. I know them. In fact, one of them is going to be leasing space for me in my new facility in Wyoming. And handling gold coming in from both Europe for clients coming in and out. So I know this firsthand. So this amount of gold has been coming here. A lot of us, including myself, started noticing the exchange for physical premium that the banks were allowing, given a premium to bring the gold to the United States. Most of us.
So he's talking about all this gold being flown in. Okay. So keep that in mind. I think it's a part of the equation here. But, you know, so talking about the gold in Fort Knox, like, the question is the gold there? Reportedly, there is about 8,133 metric tons of gold at Fort Knox, with about 147 and some change million troy ounces. It's the Fort Knox Bullion Depository in Kentucky, and supposedly roughly half of the total U.S. reserves of gold is in Fort Knox. The rest is held at other facilities. I think like West Point, there's one in Denver, I believe. But the skepticism persists due to the lack of that comprehensive audit that, you know, again, since the 1950s and only partial inspections. I think there was one in 1974. There's been very limited tours since then. So there's, as you might imagine, lots of conspiracy theories about this. Like, you know, is the gold still there? And is it missing? Or has it been swapped out? Or has it been sold? You know, there's no hard evidence that supports any of that, but we don't know. So is it there? Is it less than what we have been told? So you have official reports from the U.S. Treasury and the Mint, the U.S. Mint, that claim that all 8,133 tons are still there and accounted for. And they have these annual audits on the seals on the vault compartments. And that's what they send to prove that it's all still there, it's never been touched or whatever. But there's a lot of people who criticize that and say that those audits lack transparency and rigor. It really, there's been no physical verification since the 1970s, 1980s, and some of the records are incomplete or missing. So, you know, without that, without a thorough public inspection, physical inspection of the gold, then there's uncertainty then that remains, even though there's no definitive proof of a shortfall. So the other part of this that I found out that I didn't know that I think is interesting is, did you know that the U.S. gold that we have in those depositories, okay, all of it is valued on the Treasury's books, and that's actually statutory in our law, at a price of $42.22 per ounce, okay? That was set in 1973.
Wow.
So for 261.5 million troy ounces total, then this equates to roughly about $11 billion. Okay, so in contrast, though,
yeah,
the market price of gold as of February of 2025 is around $2,900 per ounce, okay? Making the real market value then of that gold closer to $757 billion. Which is a big difference, which highlights the outdated accounting and all of that. But the question then is, like, should this gold be reassessed? Reassessing the book value of this gold to reflect the market prices could obviously strengthen the U.S. balance sheet by hundreds of billions of dollars.
Could that erase our national debt?
It couldn't erase the national debt. Not
it's
even
less
close.
Than a trillion, and we're at 30.
But
five.
It would strengthen our economy.
Yeah,
and it would strengthen the appearance of the economic strength in the United States of America. So, you know, but it also could imply weakness, I suppose, because of inflation. And so there's been calls for reassessing this gold, you know, and even about returning, of course, to a gold-backed currency or countering the, you know, the inflation that we have had. But think about this. This is a question. What would be the impact of an audit? Like an audit confirming the gold's presence at Fort Knox could obviously boost public trust, right? And stabilize markets and maybe dispel the conspiracy theories that are out there. But what if discrepancies were found in that audit?
Yeah.
It could
be
the other direction. It could spike the cost of gold. It could undermine confidence in our dollar,
but
and fuel a lot of ridicule then from nations that hate us, like Russia and China.
Let me put something into perspective for you.
Yes, please do.
You know how we were talking about all the gold ever mined could fit in like a football field stack, mm-hmm. so many high. Guess what the value of all the gold ever mined and accounted for is worth if you had it all in that football field stacked up. First off, what's our national debt? Is it 38 or 35? Okay.
Trillion.
35 trillion.
With a T.
Guess how much all the gold that has ever been in existence is worth?
Probably just a few trillion.
7.5 trillion.
Okay.
That's if we had it all.
In the history of the world.
If we had every ounce that had ever been mined in Fort Knox, it would be a mere 20% mm-hmm. of our national debt.
Not even a third of the national debt. That's insane. That's insane.
So at that point, I mean, for real, what are we?
Yeah. So, but I'm thinking about this, like logistically, a full inspection too would be costly. You know, I don't know how long it would take and
drill
and
the bars.
Who would have to do all that? Knowing the government, it would take years, right?
Well, they just need to hire. Have you guys ever seen the show Hardcore Pawn?
I don't know if I've seen that one.
It's with the ponytail guy. Les Gold is his name.
I haven't seen that.
Okay.
Anyways, he really enjoys like when people
pawn
bring
stars.
In.
I've seen the Pawn
yeah,
Stars.
So this is Hardcore
his,
Pawn.
His name really fits into the.
It was like a generic Pawn Stars that True TV fired up to get some their show. But anyways, he likes to drill the gold or drill whatever people bring in, check all the way through. This guy,
he knows his stuff.
He knows his stuff.
Gold.
Yeah. They just need to send him over to do a reality series of Fort Knox inspection.
Him and Elon. Elon could go with him.
Yeah.
So now, why are they flying this gold into the country this much, like this guy's talking about, if that's the case? And the other question is, are other countries buying gold at higher rates than normal? And that the answer to that is yes, they are. So central banks in China, Russia, India, and others have been aggressively accumulating gold in recent years. China, listen to this, reportedly holds over 20,000 tons unofficially. 20,000 tons, far exceeding what they claim or what they actually declare, which is like 2,000 tons. While Russia, India, they are also stockpiling gold heavily. And so, you know, the global gold demand then has been higher. Record highs in 2024, driven by those purchases, with those countries diversifying away from dollar reliance and buying gold. So you think about that, this trend, what could happen if there's an audit? Now, here's my take on this, okay? I'm not even going to charge you for this, Tim. Here's my take, okay? I think President Trump knows whether the gold is in Fort Knox or not.
Yeah.
How could you not? How could the president of the United States not know? I think he has to know. And just like this guy said in the video earlier, Trump doesn't do something unless he knows he's going to win, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if he wants to make it public, it's going to be to show strength.
Yeah.
That it is there. And then also we could reassess it, which would show strength in our economy.
Yeah.
But if it isn't there, of course, it's going to show weakness. So I think it would bolster the economy by doing this. And it's probably why they're pushing for an audit and pushing for, you know, Elon to go in there with the video camera and an iPhone or an iPhone and just
psyop.
Right. Do a little reality show, you know, about Fort Knox. But then I think they're going to talk about reevaluating gold in our statute, which would, again, signal
a huge spike too in gold price. But
yeah, so I think he knows the answer. I don't think he would do it otherwise in a public way. Why would you? I think it would be way too risky if you didn't know.
At the end of the day, it's just, it really is hilarious. We spend, our GDP is pretty much all the value of,
it's crazy,
gold in history.
It's so much money you can't really fathom, right?
Yeah, and that's really why it's just humorous that we're even looking at gold, because it plays such a small part of...
Real quick, if you can you switch the TV to my screen? Look at this.
What do you got, Joel?
U.S. national debt, usdebtclock.org.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen that?
Gives me the heebie-jeebies. Yes, I have seen it.
I haven't seen it before.
Thomas Massey wears one on his. He wears one on his.
Yeah, that was early. That was pre-Joel that we did an episode on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he designed it himself, and he wears it, and it's doing that, too. It's just constantly running.
That is insane.
Yeah.
That is stressful right there.
It is.
U.S.
It's worse than doing your taxes. Total debt. Just looking at that.
Wait a second. Is that $102 trillion?
Where?
U.S. total debt.
U.S. national debt?
No, total debt. Third box down, third over. 102. That is 1, 2, 3, 4 decimals.
There's so many clocks on here.
Right
I can't.
Here.
Look at this. U.S. total debt. Yeah. Right above your cursor.
Yeah, right there.
Is that $102 trillion?
I can't see
it. It's a number so big I can't count it.
But
it just hurts me to think about it.
1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same decibels as our U.S. national debt. Our total debt is $102 trillion.
Okay. So what's the difference between the national debt and total debt?
I'd like to know now that I've seen that.
We'll have to do a
two line episode on that.
And where's Dave Ramsey when you need him?
Right.
How is that offset by our assets? I don't know. I'll be the first to admit I'm not smart enough to understand this.
Maybe that's the difference.
Tax revenue is $5 trillion a year.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Ramsey, I would love for Trump to get
appoint that guy.
He did a episode with Dave Ramsey. Trump did.
I remember that.
And it would be hilarious to appoint him.
It would.
Or team him up with Elon after all the numbers are crunched. Mm-hmm.
Now what do we do?
Be like,
right?
All right.
Do you see this?
Here's your envelope. Here's your envelopes for each department.
Student, some big envelope.
Put your cash in there.
Student loan debt.
Oh my.
Per student, $38,626. That's whether you carry debt or not.
That's crazy. Yeah, it's interesting stuff. So speaking of gold, by the way, my committee that I chair, the COGE committee for Missouri, the Missouri Doge, will be hearing a bill regarding gold as currency on a state level, which will be Tuesday, which will be the day after this episode airs. At noon, it's going to be interesting. I think Missouri should lead on this issue. I think there's two or three different bills we're going to hear regarding gold and currency on a state level. In other news, we have a recent video of Kamala Harris on some word salad tangent that is just something else. It sounds like to me she's also probably a bit inebriated.
Per the use.
Per the use. But listen to this.
For those rights to be maintained, which means we have to be vigilant, and it's just the nature of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look what, this beautiful play and everything that we know at the end of it. He was suppressed, he had to suppress so much. But he knew and he took those risks. But we have to be clear-eyed. And it doesn't mean we don't see the beauty in everything.
She's definitely medicated. These things all coexist. Whether self or...
But I believe we fight for something, not against something.
Yes.
Right. And that's our optimism.
She's blinking about every 30 seconds.
All right. With that, I'm waiting. For those rights to be maintained, which means we have to...
You remember when they gave Pete Hegseth a hard time for drinking?
Right, I do. It was like last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then there's Kamala.
So that's Kamala. We narrowly missed that one, boys. Next up, Pam Bondi says that the Epstein list and other secret documents are on her desk for review. And let's see what she says about giving any indication as to when we'll be seeing these anytime soon.
DOJ may be releasing the list of Jeffrey Epstein's clients? Will that really happen?
It's sitting on my desk right now to review. That's been a directive by President Trump. I'm reviewing that. I'm reviewing JFK files, MLK files. That's all in the process of being reviewed because that was done at the directive of the president from all of these agencies.
So have you seen anything that you said, oh my gosh?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, we'll check back.
So... Again, like, stop talking about it, though.
Alex Jones said,
just stop talking about it. Let's see it.
It's going to be released in 10 days.
Is he saying that?
Yeah. That's what he said yesterday.
10 days ago?
Yesterday.
That's what he said yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
so
maybe it's going to happen. I don't know. I hope so. Next up, Tom Homan here on a segment on Jesse Waters. He's just going beast mode on the cartel, on the terrorists, and which I think is exactly what needs to happen. So,
what
let's
you
listen
smiling
to what
about, Chubby? Yeah. You find a piece of candy in your pocket,
right?
That's a big old smile.
Cartels are getting craftier. They're obviously trying to adapt to what you're throwing at them. You're seeing this video now. They're on boats. How have you seen the coyotes and the cartels kind of reorient their business to handle what you've done?
Look, they are going maritime. We knew they would. That's why we've increased Coast Guard patrols three times more than we have in the past. So Coast Guard to answer that call. So we're going to shut them down maritime too. Look, we're going to put them out of business. President Trump is designating them criminal terrorist organizations, which they should be. They've killed more Americans than every terrorist organization in this world combined. President Trump will end up wiping them off the face of the earth because we're going to put them out of business. You put them out of business, you take their money away. They can't bribe Mexican officials. They can't bribe anybody.
Yep.
Without money, they have no power. And we're not just going to attack
is
them.
Is that
Mexico.
His hair?
The Jalisco cartel will attack them in 43 countries.
Oh, it's never mind. It's the reflection of his skull on the screen
we're
behind
attack
him.
Them worldwide.
Okay. That's all I could
Tim
look at.
Couldn't get past that. But I love it. Like he said, Trump's gonna wipe him off
like
the face.
Like that guy
of
off the Goonies.
Yeah.
I love you.
Oh man.
Good at his job. That's what matters. We're not judging people on looks.
Yeah. Just kicking butt and taking names. Tom Homan right now. Oh, yeah, this is great. Look at this. So Trump is going to sell the Nancy Pelosi Federal Building in San Francisco. They're going to sell it. Listen to this. This is just great.
White House is looking to sell the Nancy Pelosi Federal Building on 7th Street and the century-old building at 50 United Nations Plaza. The Trump administration says it will save money by avoiding maintenance on the buildings, selling the properties, then leasing office space for federal workers. Former Congresswoman Jackie Spear says it's just about vengeance.
Nancy can buy it. Another example of how he's coming after Democrats. Yeah. He's coming after California. And it's all about
kind of like Nancy.
I know. Maybe that's her daughter.
Oh, man. I just thought this is so good. Like level 10, saving money, downsizing the federal government.
Trolling hard.
Selling Nancy Pelosi's building with their name on it. Just you can't get any better. There's also been talk about taking the money that Doge has found, right? And is saving and giving it back to in the form of dividend checks back to the American people. And I think this is an interesting concept. Giving back the taxpayers the money that has been taken from them, the extra money. I think it could be probably one of the greatest political power moves of all time, actually. Here's the chief of staff, Stephen Miller, talking about this possibility. Have you heard this guy speak? Like, I think we played a little video last week, but he is really intelligent and like always just absolutely excoriates
on the ball.
Yeah. The whiny media. But this is Peter Ducey asking him a question, but listen to what he says.
So Stephen, we're hearing about these Doge dividend checks that would be 20% back to taxpayers, 20% to pay down the debt. 60% is left. Who gets that?
Well, the way that it works is when you achieve savings, you can either return it to taxpayers, you can return it to our debtors, or it can be cycled into next year's budget, and then it just lowers the overall baseline for next year. So in other words, you can just transfer into the next fiscal window and then lower the overall spending level. And that means that you can achieve a permanent savings that way, and that reduces the deficit.
And when is it that people might see those checks?
Well, this is all going to be worked on through the reconciliation process with Congress that's going underway right now, as you've seen. The Senate's moving a bill. The House is moving a bill. The president has great confidence in both chambers to deliver on his priorities. I would just take this opportunity to note that President Trump has made a historic commitment to the working class of this country to fight for a major tax relief and major price relief. And cutting spending, as Doge is doing, and cutting taxes is the key to delivering on both of those promises. And President Trump is resolutely committed to doing both.
Hmm. So it seems like it's actually a good possibility. So how much would that be per taxpayer if you figured that out? So I think this proposal came originally from a guy by the name of James Fishback, actually, from... he's CEO of Azoria, which is an investment firm, and also an informal Doge advisor. So he's been pushing it hard on X. And then I think he wrote a memo about it as well, suggesting that 20% of the total savings, which is the total savings they're going for, is estimated at over $2 trillion if they hit their target, would be going back to households. So that's $400 billion then divided up among roughly 79 million households, because it's by household, it's not by person. So if you do the math, I guess it would be around $5,000 then per household that would come back to the American taxpayers. So, you know, hey, that's $5,000. That's a pretty big deal for most people if they get a check in the mail for that. There's no official confirmation on this yet, but like he was saying, there are bills both in the House and the Senate, and it seems like that this is something that will go through. I wonder if there's a Polymarket odds on that, Joel.
I will whether certainly we get look.
A dividend check back.
I don't personally want not. A dividend check.
You don't?
Let's cut the national debt.
Yeah.
Cut my taxes.
You just
want
to dedicate yours to straight over to the debt.
Yeah. Cut the national debt. Cut my taxes. We'll go from there.
How much is it per person, the national debt? It's like over $100,000, isn't it?
I think I still have that clock up.
I can't remember.
National debt per citizen. Okay, so debt per citizen is $107,280.
$107,000.
Debt per taxpayer? How would that be different?
Well, some citizens don't pay taxes.
Debt per taxpayer is $323,147 per person.
Yeah.
Per taxpayer.
Unbelievable. So I don't know. I think it's probably likely that we see something like that. But, you know, hey, time will tell. Here's another great clip of Stephen Miller. I thought this was good, too, talking about there's a reporter that screams something out about Elon Musk not being an elected official, you know, and here's his response to that.
It is true that many of the people in this room for 4 years failed to cover the fact that Joe Biden was mentally incompetent and was not running the country. It is also true that many people in this room who have used this talking point that Elon is not elected fail to understand how government works. So I'm glad for the opportunity for a brief civics lesson. A president is elected by the whole American people. He's the only official in the entire government that is elected by the entire nation, right? Judges are appointed, members of Congress are elected at the district or state level. Just one man. And the Constitution, Article 2, has a clause known as the vesting clause, and it says the executive power shall be vested in a president, singular. The whole will of democracy is imbued into the elected president. That president then appoints staff to then impose that democratic will onto the government. The threat to democracy, indeed the existential threat to democracy, is the unelected bureaucracy of lifetime tenured civil servants who believe they answer to no one, who believe they can do whatever they want without consequence, who believe they can set their own agenda no matter what Americans vote for. So Americans vote for radical FBI reform, and FBI agents say they don't want to change. Or Americans vote for radical reform on our energy policies, but EPA bureaucrats say they don't want to change. Or Americans vote to end DEI, racist DEI policies, and lawyers of the Department of Justice say they don't want to change. What President Trump is doing is he is removing federal bureaucrats who are defying democracy by failing to implement his lawful orders, which are the will of the whole American people.
So good.
Well said.
Very well said.
I and felt that's... when I saw that the other day, I felt like I had just went back to fifth grade learning about that executive branch.
Yeah. And that's exactly what's happening. So, you know, they can whine about it, but the truth is you have to remove the people that will not implement democracy, which is what the people voted for.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
I'm high on my own supply right now. But at some point, we got to get back to...
Tell me.
Like, we realize the president should not have all these executive authority.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Executive order authority, yeah. Right?
Yeah,
I agree. Don't get me wrong. I'm loving it right now.
No, but I know. We love it when it's in our favor. But the precedent of that is not a good precedent because the executive branch.
And he didn't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't know where it started, but I remember I never really heard about it until Obama.
There was definitely an uptick there for sure.
And
but
the press secretary came out and said, this is unprecedented. Yep. You know, this is three times what Obama did.
Mm-hmm.
Two times what, Biden did, I believe. And, I really think that, you know, he has to start backing up these executive orders
legislatively
with legislation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
Well, and that, I think they will, they are, but, you know, you also look at how much, you know, the judicial branch has taken authority, right?
No, I mean, it's...
And how do you compensate for that? Like, there's so many arguments you could make with this, but the, you know, in a perfect world, yes, we wouldn't have these executive orders in this amount. But I think the point is you do try to get Congress to do the job and the will of the people and do that legislatively. That's what we're trying to do on a state level. You know, Governor Kehoe did an executive order the next day after we perfected my DEI bill. But he also said, we still want to do this. We still want to put it in statute. That way the next governor can't just undo that executive order.
Is that the seventh or eighth bill that you've sponsored that made it to the governor's desk?
That's a good question. Actual House bill? This one hasn't made it to the governor yet. It's got to go through the Senate.
Well, I saw you standing behind him.
Yeah.
Well, he came in and took your bill and made an executive order out of it, right?
Yes.
But it still has to be voted on.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it still has to go through the Senate and be passed just like any other bill. Even though his executive order was effective immediately and actually implementing what my bill would do, it's the same thing basically, but it's not in statute. It's just an executive order. Currently.
So do executive orders stand with a governor for 4 years, just like they would?
They stand
for the whole term.
Repealed.
They stand until they're repealed.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you know that most of the DEI stuff in Missouri all came from Jay Nixon?
I did not.
The last Democrat governor who put executive orders in place for DEI, and our last two Republican governors didn't undo those DEI executive orders.
So Jay Nixon was into DEI before DEI was cool.
Yeah, well, that all happened around Ferguson, remember? He was president.
Yeah.
Or he was president. He was governor under
state president.
All that happened with Ferguson. All right. I think that pretty much wraps it up for today.
No Florida man.
Oh, yeah. There was one story. This is awful, man. It's crazy. It's not a Florida man. This is in Connecticut. I'm just going to read this, but literally they have released a cannibal out of custody.
It says it was under
the knife.
No, what'd the headline say there?
So the headline says, Connecticut man accused of cannibalism and murder is granted conditional release.
The condition was, can't eat people no more.
Right. Don't do it again.
This will let you slide.
This is how crazy this is. And I'm just reading this story from, I think it's NBC Boston. A man accused of cannibalism and murder has been granted conditional release. The board granted Tyree Smith's release after a careful review of his clinical progress. So this is what they cited. His clinical progress is what they said allows him to be released. He's currently at Connecticut Valley Hospital in Middletown. Smith is accused of hacking a man to death with an axe in Bridgeport and eating a part of the victim's brain and an eyeball. It makes me want to throw up in my mouth.
I'm just thinking of Bear Grylls eating eyeballs.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of Chuck Schumer with his meat axe.
With the undone did you guys catch burgers?
That? Yeah.
Right.
But
here's what they said.
I digress.
That Tastes Smith like- has demonstrated long-term stability, remained engaged in all recommended treatments, and consistently followed his care. His conditional release requires that he remain under structured supervision and that he continues to receive necessary mental health services, I'd say. But they have let this guy go. And I just can't imagine it. But
have you ever seen
the East Coast for you?
You ever seen the video of Bear Grylls eating grub worms?
I've seen every Bear Grylls video.
It tastes like bogeys. Right.
But man, oh man.
I want to follow up the last story. You got to hear this. Trump, he's so funny, man. Like, in the way he tells stories, and he's telling the story of one of the military personnel that was promoted and his unique name. And you just got to hear this, and then we'll sign off. Watch
this. I'm standing on the top, and I look down, and there's these handsome people. Everybody's like from a movie set. Good-looking guys. I get down the stairs, and what's your name? My name is Kane, sir. What's your first name? They call me Raisin. I say, wait a minute. Your name is Raisin Kane? I love you. I've been looking for you for 5 years. You are the great. This is what I want. I'm standing on the top, and I look.
Raisin Kane. Is that not great?
Oh, some parents have a better sense of humor than others.
Yeah, I thought that was just too good. But hey, they're getting rid of the woke stuff in the military. They're replacing it with people that are loyal to this country, who love our country, and who have the skills and the will to do the right thing. And I think it's going to make all the difference moving forward. Really excited about Kash Patel. And finally now the FBI is in good hands. And I hope that they do a deep clean of the FBI, because it's what has to be done with the deep state. They were the worst agency over the past few years. So with that, don't forget, everybody, to subscribe to the Man Cave Caucus YouTube channel, where you can find our video content. Also, follow us on Apple Podcasts and subscribe on Spotify. Anywhere you find us, wherever you find us, leave us a 5-star review, and that'll help us tremendously. And you never know, we may even read your review on the air, like we did a few today.
Hey, on the Kash Patel, was it Adam Schiff? Is that the guy that's in California his crosshairs? Do you think he's sleeping like a baby? Waking up every 2 hours screaming.
Are you supportive of this? Are you supportive of these onesies?
Sucking his thumb.
Right.
I'm telling you.
Oh,
he's got to be nervous.
I know. And I hope that they do release this stuff with like the Epstein files, the Diddy files, and all this stuff, because it's you might see Congress like not have a quorum.
I was thinking that. Like,
you might see enough people resign.
How many seats could be coming open?
Could you imagine?
For the second. I'm without that. You know how many seats could be coming open for a second term?
Yep.
Just by the waste and abuse that Doge uncovers.
That's right.
All right. Exciting stuff.
Everybody, God bless.
God bless.
Throw a special thanks out there to Mitch Canner, friend of the show.
I was going to do that too.
Friend of the show, Mitch Canner, who came through.
Literally made it possible by one small part that we needed and couldn't find anywhere. It never gets old, boys.
I may loan Mitch
Shamasan.
He picks up instruments.
Oh, Mitch would
lickety
tear it
split.
Up. He would tear it up.
Maybe he could come in and play it live.
He's a pretty good bass player, so he's already got it.
I know.
That's right.
Just take half the strings away.
That's what I'm thinking.
What'd Tim say? Half as easy.
Half as easy.
Two times less easy is what Tim said.
No. Two times more easier. Get it right. Fact check guy. Spewing fodder.
I'm literally kicking myself. I don't think I got the Bear Grylls voice on video.
It's okay.
Old Bear Grylls.
Tastes
it's been a while
like
since I've seen one of those.
Bogies.
There you go.
It's just shooting out the side of his mouth.
Bogies.
A grub the size of my thumb.
What's it taste like?
Bogies. Tastes like bogies. It's just... He bites into it, and it almost shoots the camera.
Great show.
Like a goiter on your back.